Thank you, Neil and Lois. Neil, if you would have gone a little further, you would have finished my sermon, and we could get out of here. But just that close. Well, it is the end of another year, and as several people have mentioned, good riddance. For some of us, 2024 was not a very good year. It was tough, it was hard, it was sad, it was disappointing. I'll just talk on behalf of the Davis family. Destiny had brain surgery. She's not fully recovered, and she very likely will have to have a second brain surgery. Nicole has POTS. We call it POTS because the full name is Postural Orthostatic Tachycardia Syndrome. I'm a simple man. POTS is a whole lot easier to say. That's a blood circulation disorder. It affects the heart, and it's flared up multiple times this past year. We had a reduction in income, a little bit of stress here at work. Our home HVAC heat pump system crashed twice. Our refrigerator decided to quit on us in the summer. Our camper, now this is a minor thing, but our camper was parked, closed up for the winter, and a dump truck hit it in the middle of a field. Seriously. You know, I mean, we had friends pass away this past year, and a whole bunch more, but I think you get the point. And many of you had even tougher years. Maybe you lost a job, or your expenses just kept going up even after the money stopped coming in. Maybe you had a family member who lost their health. Many of us, as I mentioned, lost friends, either through circumstances or through their passing. We lost loved ones. Some of us maybe even lost hope. And so we're looking forward to a new year, a fresh start, because we're so tired and we're weary of 2024 and we're just not sure if we can take much more of it. But the title of my sermon is, What If? What if next year isn't any better? What if our hopes, our wishes, our dreams for 2025 don't come true? Are we willing to be content? Are we willing to trust God? Are we willing to have hope and joy in spite of our circumstances? I think this video will help explain. So if we could show the video, what if? Thank you. what if your story ended here? What if 2024 is the way 2025 is going to be also? You know, life is not a Disney movie. We do not live happily ever after. One of my favorite movies, The Princess Bride, has this quote, and I think it's pretty biblical. Life is pain, Highness, and anyone who says differently is trying to sell you something. And the reason I say it's pretty biblical, because the Bible says in Job chapter 5, for affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble sprout from the ground, but man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. We're born to trouble. Or Psalm 90. I want to thank Ike Eichelberger, who pointed this verse out. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. I have never heard anyone say these verses are their favorites in the Bible. Man is born to trouble, toil, and trouble. Has anyone here never experienced trouble? Oh, I heard a laugh. Thanks, Helen. We have all experienced pain. Now, the Bible is full of miracles, though. Wonderful, true stories that are amazing. And Neil read some of those from Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham went to the promised land and was blessed. But he did live in a tent, and he never saw the city whose designer and builder is God. Also in Hebrews 11, Moses freed the people and led them to the promised land. But you know that group of people, they died in the wilderness. And Moses never got to enter the promised land. But Hebrews 11 does go on about the heroes of the faith. And what more shall I say, for time would fail me? Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David and Samuel, and the prophets who stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. These are the verses that are so exciting. They're inspiring. Who doesn't want their life to be like that? Who doesn't want to be the hero? To have everything work out in the end, to see God work mighty in our life, and see great things happen. Don't we long for that? But unfortunately, we aren't all heroes. We all don't have happily ever afters in this life. And for most of us, life is pain. Life is hard. And the writer of Hebrews, after going through all these heroes of the faith and all the wonderful things and miracles that God does, he gives us a reality check. Because right after he gives us these heroes of the faith and that exciting work of God in their lives, right after verses 32 through 35, the author gives us verses 36 through 39. And the author says, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and all these things, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. That has got to be another one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Did not receive what was promised. These were faithful men and women, people who were commended for their faith, and yet their life did not turn out the way that they hoped. They knew pain. They knew sorrow. They knew desperation. They knew sadness. And so what if our life is more like verses 36 to 39 rather than verses 32 through 35? What if? What if we are not the hero? What if we are like the unknown saints who, though commended, did not receive what was promised? What if we are more like Job than Joseph? What if we get more mocking than praise? What if we have more failure than success? What if? What if our story ended here in chapter 11 of Hebrews with the pain, the suffering, the disappointment, and the sadness? What if? Can we be content when not everything works out? Can we be content when the prayer isn't answered the way we hoped it would be? When everything does not turn out better, when the road is long, when we feel like no one understands, and when disappointment, sadness, and failure are our only companions? Are we able to be content? Are we willing to let God lead and to travel the road He planned for us? Are we willing to trust God for our future? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a German Christian. He gave up his life in fighting Hitler and the Nazis. He said this: "There is meaning in every journey that is unknown to the traveler. We might not know why God planned this road for us, but we do know who planned out our life, and we do know that God is good. And our circumstances might not be, our pain and our hurt, they're real, but God is good. And our journey has meaning and purpose beyond what we could ever imagine." Well, this has been a really uplifting sermon, hasn't it? But if we stopped there, it would be disappointing, wouldn't it? But we're going to go to chapter 12, where God answers the question, what if? And the author says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Therefore, since your life is hard, therefore, since you are suffering, therefore, since you have been mocked and despised, therefore, since you are destitute, therefore, since you are afflicted and mistreated, therefore, since you are wandering about, maybe even hopeless, therefore, if any of this describes your life right now, remember. Remember this. First, you are not alone. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. There's a stadium packed with people, and they are cheering you on. Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Abraham, Moses, thousands upon thousands, and they are exhorting you, encouraging you to keep going. The race is hard. but the goal is in sight, and you are not alone. Their lives are a testimony to living faithfully, and that you too can live faithfully and endure. You're not alone. And two, therefore, get rid of the baggage. Life is hard enough. We don't need to make it harder. We need to let go of some things, the weight and the sin that clings to us. So what is holding you back? What is a burden you need to let go of? Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Confess, cry out, back that dump truck full of your life, all that junk, all that trash, and just dump it. Let it go. Cast it all on Jesus because he cares and he weeps with those who weep. So let go of the baggage and cast all your cares upon Jesus. And three, run your race. Don't worry about everyone else's race. You have a race that was set before you, given to you by God himself. Too many of us are trying to run someone else's race. You don't have to run their race. You run your race and run it with endurance. Stay focused. Run your race and don't worry about what others think or say. And four, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So I want to read most of Isaiah chapter 53, because the text says that we're supposed to consider him. So let's consider Jesus and what he went through. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. Jesus had no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. And like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressions. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted, because Jesus understands. No one desired him. He wasn't a beautiful person. He was lonely. He was despised. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. He knew grief. He was afflicted with pain. He was pierced. He was stricken. He was crushed. He was wounded. He was oppressed. He was led to slaughter. He was alone, and he was killed. Jesus knows, and he understands your pain, and he understands your grief. He will carry your sorrow. He will carry your pain. He was pierced for your sin. His chastising will bring you peace. His wounds can heal you. He can and will save you. And he did all this because he loves you. And he cares for you. So look to Jesus. He can give you strength so that you do not grow weary. He can give you hope so that you will not grow faint-hearted. As one hymn writer wrote, and I think you're familiar with this hymn, "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free." Do you know the chorus of this one? "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." So what if life stays hard? What if things or your circumstances do not get better? What if next year stinks as much as this year has for some of us? Well, we don't need to worry or fear the what if. We do not need to lose hope. We can have peace and joy even in the midst of sorrow and affliction because we are not alone. Because we can get rid of the baggage that hinders us and we can find peace and joy. Because we have a race to run that God has set out for us, and because we have Jesus. So turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, the sorrow, the troubles, the pain, the fear, will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. At this time, we're going to have special music. I asked for this song. It's called Blessings. Therefore, since we're not alone, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let's do that. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, the race that God has laid out for each and every one of us. And then looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.